morning, everybody. I'm Ellen, a grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
I never know what I'm gonna say. I'm just gonna let God, whatever comes. So I just need to get the numbers out of the way so then I can talk about whatever I'm gonna talk about. I've been abstinent since 1980, so that's like 36 years. I figured it out, it's almost half my life. We'll get that out of the way. Pretty unbelievable. I can't even like take it in, really. Sometimes when I'm gonna speak, I try to like think about what is it that I wanna talk about. And what kept coming up for me was about being in fit spiritual condition. This is the AA big book. Oh, by the way, whatever you hear, it's just coming from me. So take what you like and leave the rest. This is just my own stuff. So AA big book is my Bible. I still feel like, these guys who started this program are just absolutely brilliant. I'm going to talk for about 5 minutes about how I got to 1980 because we'd be here all day. But I just want to say that, at the end of the meeting, there's a closing where they read the OA promises. And at the very end, you'll hear it if you've never heard them before. And if you've heard them before, you'll recognize this immediately. But at the end of the promises, which come surprisingly at the end of step 9, not step 4, it says, that is our, makes a lot of promises about how you can change in this program. And then it says, that is our experience. That is how we react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So, the fact that this is the theme that I want to talk about, when you hear a little bit about my story, you'll hear why that's such a big deal. When I came into this program, it was 1970. That was the first, I attended my first meeting in 1969. And I walked into a meeting, in those days, OA was in its embryonic stages. And we had AA speakers who came to our meetings because we didn't have people with long-term abstinence who could share. So AA speakers would come and share at OA meetings. And this guy was an AA speaker, and he was talking about God. And was at a church. And I would have said I was an atheist, but I didn't, I was like too, maybe, I don't know. I was afraid to say that. So I said I was an agnostic. I really was an atheist, but it was just too hard to say that because that would have sounded too, like sure. Just in case there might be a higher up. For just a few minutes, I grew up in a very affluent family in Southern California. I never felt like I fit into that environment, and I still believe I don't fit into that environment. And the only way that I could really rebel, food gave me a lot of comfort. I grew up in a family where my dad, some people in my family considered him an alcoholic. He certainly had all the characteristics. He had huge rages, which left everybody in terror, including me, and I was been afraid of anger my whole life. And food was a real comfort. It really worked when I was a kid. It really did. And I had an ulcer by the time I was in second grade. My mother, who never liked to acknowledge that there were any problems in our family, didn't want people to know that it was probably an emotional basis for this. So she told people I was born with it. This was not the reality. It's very anxiety provoking environment. Anyway, long story short, my way of rebelling was A, I got fat. And that was a really good thing to do in my family because my mother couldn't stand. It was very important how everybody looked. I was her project to fix. And so we went to doctors, we did all kinds of treatments, and none of it worked. And food was the only really comfort that I had. So I was always overweight. And when I was in high school, it was particularly, you know, I was, is that really 5 minutes already? Oh my God. So, okay. So, you know, I was like always 25, 30 pounds overweight in high school. My way of rebelling has always been the choices I've made in relationships. So when I was 18, I went to college, and I was not a very good student in high school. So I went, and they didn't want me to leave the state. So I met the person who was the closest person I could find to Lenny Bruce. In case you guys don't know, this is like I'm dating myself because a lot of you will never have heard of him. But he was the most outrageous, outspoken, you know, offensive comedian there was. And he went to jail. He was a drug addict. But he was my hero. I mean, that kind of tells you, you know, where I was at and how much I rebelled against the world I was living in. And I married somebody who was the closest thing I could find to him. He was a sailor, just gotten out of the Navy, was going to the to school on the GI Bill. So I was a mother at 19 because I'd gotten pregnant before we got married. My oldest son is now 54. Unbelievable. As he would say, unbelievable. I kept gaining weight. You know, it was great to be a mother, and I kept gaining weight because I actually enjoyed being a mother, even though I'd never had any experience with kids. I really actually did enjoy it. But I could also eat all I wanted, and I stayed home with the kids pretty much. I had a second child 3 years later. And in 1969, so I, at that point, my younger son was born in 65. So in 1969, I'd stopped weighing at 200. I just couldn't go on the scale anymore. I couldn't look. So I came to my first meeting, as I told you, and went away for a year, because I couldn't face hearing about God and listening to alcoholics. I had no idea what they were talking about. But there was one thing that I loved about that meeting is that everybody was telling the truth. And I heard the word compulsive overeater for the first time. So that had an impression on me. I got to see a therapist who was very charismatic during that period of time. My ex-husband and I were having a lot of trouble. He was drinking and I was eating. And she said, you eat like an alcoholic drinks. And I knew what she meant. And a lot of you have heard this story. You've been around the program for a while. The story doesn't change. So I remembered OA, and I started going to OA. The first year in the program, I lost about 50 pounds. It was a honeymoon. I worked the first couple of steps. Really the first step. You know, that was really kind of it, because the whole God thing was really troubling. But they said act as if, and I did that, and I went to meetings and stuff like that. So the first year I lost about 50 pounds, and so I'm going to fast forward a lot, because I want to really get to today. So knowing that what you know about me now, in terms of my being an atheist, to be talking about being in fit spiritual condition is, you know, kind of interesting. And now it's the most important thing in my life. This is a spiritual program. It is what makes it different from all other weight loss organizations. It's what attracted me to begin with, and it is what still keeps me here. It's nonprofit. The motives are for us to get well. And I, thanks to higher power, got recovery. So in 1917, I moved to Northern California in about 1975. I had remarried, moved to Northern California. In 1979, I was in a relationship that I could not talk about at meeting. And I needed to get out of it, and I was very afraid. And felt very trapped, and always the only place I've ever known where I could be totally honest, other than with a therapist. I felt with a therapist I could be honest, but even with the therapist, she sort of got it, but she's the one who diagnosed me as a compulsive eater, but nevertheless, what I needed was not, I needed that, but I needed this too. And so I started lying about it. I started binging again. I had moved to Northern California. I'd stopped going to meetings. I put on about 25 pounds, but it was, thank you. But it was the lowest low I've ever had, much lower than when I first came into the program. I was really suicidal. And I started going to Al-Anon. In Al-Anon, the person who was sponsoring me in Al-Anon said, you need to go back to OA. I came to an OA meeting in 1980, got a sponsor. In those days, if you had 21 days of abstinence, you stood up, you raised your hand, you said, I've got 21 days of abstinence, and at least at that meeting, you became a food sponsor. We don't have that tradition anymore, but we did then, and thank God. The woman who became my sponsor was new in the program. It was her first 21 days, and she was fabulous. It was absolutely great. I never qualified as an old-timer. I never said I've been around this program for years. I just said I'm a compulsive eater, and I started committing my food, and I've been abstinent ever since. To say that a lot has happened since 1980 would be putting it mildly, mildly. I'm really not the same person I was then. I always wanted to be someone who could get up and get dressed in the morning and feel comfortable in my clothes. I always wanted to have a life outside the program as well as in the program and have a life where I could travel and still have a healthy body weight. I do believe in the definition of compulsive eating being not only that we not eat compulsively and use our compulsive eating behaviors, but that we also work toward a healthy body weight. I think that's a really important thing. And I'm grateful for it. So there's stuff, but the deal is I have to remain in fit spiritual condition in order to do that. It doesn't work otherwise. Otherwise, I'd just be on a diet, and I can't stay on a diet. That doesn't work for me. So I have to have a food plan. I have to have a plan of action. And what I wanted to say, you know, in the big book, you know, this is a one day at a time program. I cannot believe that it's been 36 years, that one day at a time for 36 years, I have been doing this. Pretty amazing. And it's not always been easy. I've been through brain cancer. I've been through 4 marriages. I've been alone now for 10 years, and I discovered this is probably who I need to be. I'm not great in relationships. I'm just not. I mean, I would like to say that I am and that I'm one of these people who can be a wonderful partner. For whatever reason, it's just not in the cards. I'm very happy. I do better when I'm alone. I hate to say that. Okay, so this being a 24-hour-a-day program, the big book gives us a prescription for how to live 24 hours. And into action, on page 85, after it says we need to stay in fit spiritual condition, it talks about step 11. And it suggests prayer and meditation. So I had to do a lot of footwork around that because I didn't have a concept of a higher power that worked for me. I didn't have a concept of higher power. My concept of higher power had been what I'd been given as a kid, which is Santa Claus in the sky who rewards you and punishes you. And that never worked for me. And this is just me. I had to come up with a concept of a higher power where I believe there's a force for good in the universe that I can tap into. And it's up to me to tap into it. And if I do, then things go very positively and smoothly. Not necessarily the way I want them to go, but they work out. Things work out. They do. And I get through stuff that I would never have imagined being able to get through. And I actually get to feel happy, joyous, and free, which is some of the promises. So step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. And then it tells you what to do for the next 24 hours. Tells you what to do when you retire at night. It says you have to constructively review your day and look at where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, and afraid? What could I have done better? So I do this every single night, and I have for a long time, write a 10th step. And it's part of step 11 where I write the answers to those questions. Where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, and afraid? What went well? And what could I have done better? Every night, and then I give it away in the morning to somebody in program. And I've been doing it for a long time. I need it. By the end of the day at night, my life is full. Even though I'm retired, my life is really full. Is it time, really? Okay, so I'm just going to say this, that if you look at the big book and read what it tells you to do for those 24 hours, you will stay in fit spiritual condition. It's inevitable. They tell you what to do when you wake up in the morning. They tell you what to do when you face indecision. They tell you what to do and I just want to say, you know, there's advice about what to do throughout those 24 hours. And if you did all those things, it's, you know, you're going to stay in fit spiritual condition, connected with God and allowing higher power to work in your life. It tells you what to do when you go out throughout your day and you're agitated. I'm going to wrap up. There are more promises at the end. These are kind of called the hidden promises of the program. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. I mean, that's powerful stuff. It means getting out of the way. It means my will, God's will, not my will, is happening. And then it says it works. It really does. So this is not me, you know, these guys wrote this 90 zillion years ago, and it worked. It's still working, but you have to work it. So I think that's it. I'm going to stop. I get very passionate. Thank you for listening.